When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Some of his frustrations, obviously, with the defense, and of course him talking about accountability and him being accountable first and foremost to himself and to his team, as far as, you know, in the fourth quarter, not giving up 14 points when your offense is giving you a lead. Wolf, before we dive further into it, I have to make sure for journalistic integrity that I've also done my part and that I messed up.
Uh-oh.
You see that? I messed up.
What'd you do?
The first pass of Ben's career was to Hines, but his first touchdown was to Antoine Randall.
Oh.
So I wanted to make sure that I got
that. For
the
sake of journalistic integrity, yes, we have to
exactly.
Do that.
Yeah, we have to do that. So I just wanted to make sure we knew that. And it's funny, his second touchdown of his career actually went to Hines Ward. But the first big pass, which was a 58-yarder, that was to Hines. So I want to make sure. I apologize, L. He's not listening because he's coaching the Detroit Lions wide receivers right now. But to everybody out there that remembers that, I apologize. I was in street clothes during that game.
Ah.
So, yeah.
So you had a good chance to watch it.
Sure. Because I was definitely watching.
You know, when you're in street clothes, you know, you either got an injury or you're young and, you don't get a hat. You know, back in my day, everybody got a hat. You know, I mean, that was there. If you didn't have a hat, you weren't there. You know, I mean, that's just the way it was.
Yeah.
You know, so things have moved on from my time period, obviously. But the fact of the matter is, I hated that, you know, like when I got injured, you know, you got to go sit in the press box. Really? Sit in the press box? Are you kidding me? I don't want to sit in the press. No. You know, that's the last place. It drives you nuts. But Chuck was always like, if you're hurt, he didn't want you around because it was like he thought you would infect somebody else with injury. You know?
Yeah, exactly. You were the reason why somebody could possibly get injured.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Come on.
Right, Wolf?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, no.
No.
Get out of here. But obviously, hey, coaches have their quirks, right?
Yeah, they
coaches
do.
Coaches have their quirks. So you just kind of let the coach be and just say, hey, all right, coach, that's what it is. I remember when I had to sit in the press box for the suite.
Uh-huh.
When I injured my knee. And I was so mad because we were playing Jacksonville.
Okay.
And so Marvell Smith and I are sitting up in
this. Oh, you're both hurt.
Yeah, we're both injured. So Trey Essex is playing left tackle. And Willie Colon's playing right tackle for this. And I just remember me and Marvell sitting up and we're just like, this sucks.
Yeah.
This sucks.
It's terrible.
Both of us. I couldn't even sit in a chair because my knee was hurting. So I actually had to sit on the steps. In the suite because I had to keep my knee fully extended.
Mm-hmm.
So I couldn't even sit in the chair, the comfy chairs that were in the suite because my knee was bothering me. And there was there's the wall there right in front. And so my legs are long, so I couldn't sit. So I tried to sit there sideways and my hips were hurting. So then I'm like, I'm just going to sit on the steps.
Then
grab my crutches and try and get up. It was miserable.
Was there plenty of food there? Did you have good food?
No, there wasn't. There wasn't.
Really? Is that disappointing?
It was like a player's auxiliary box. You know, I didn't know anything about ordering food, and Marvell definitely wasn't ordering food. So it was just kind of one of those things. You just kind of just sat up there. So it was miserable on top of miserable.
Yeah. Oh, man, that would have been, pure misery. I remember back in my day, you wouldn't even come to the stadium, really, if you were hurt. You know, I mean, there was a couple times where I came to and went to the press box. But, you know, for the most part, they just told you to stay home. It's like, okay.
See,
but at least you can have comfort food there.
You can't have comfort food at home. That is one of the positive things. But, we weren't afforded that luxury. It was just sit in the misery. Watch the game. Watch the game. You're here to watch football. Watch the football game.
That's right.
So that's what we did.
All right. Well, yeah, moving along here, my friend. What I saw one of the things that was interesting was Calvin Austin III, who was placed on injured reserve, remember? But he is eligible to return to practice this week and then play in Sunday's game in Buffalo, should that happen. That's another thing that I wouldn't be surprised if Mike addresses that at the press conference today.
Well, him and DeMonte KZ,
right.
Both of them have that eligibility. And, man, you talk about another spark, putting a speedster on the field like that.
Woo.
That definitely changes the dimensions of what is possible for this team. So, yeah, I can't wait to hear. I mean, like I said, the Mike Tomlin press conference is coming up after our show. So
that a boy. That's the way to be a professional.
You know, once again, you got to pay the tees. Got to pay the tees, baby. Got to do it. Got to do it.
Absolutely. But, you know, that's the interesting thing. Yeah, Calvin Austin, DeMonte KZ, it'll be interesting to see where they're at. And, you know, because, again, that we have not seen that young man's speed since up at St. Vincent. But, man, it was aplenty when you saw him open things up out on the field.
Oh, I mean, it was a thing of beauty. And I mean, think about how frustrating he was actually getting under DeMonte KZ. That DeMonte, remember the drill going towards the baseball field? It was a going in drill,
right?
And Calvin Austin was running, and DeMonte KZ just cleaned him up across the edge before they even had shoulder pads on.
Right, right.
Because he was mad that just Calvin was just everywhere. So it's funny that both of those guys are now eligible to return, because they were guys that were so exciting during training camp, and you want to see if that skill set can be utilized. Now, granted, we've also had Steven Sims sitting on the sidelines.
That's true too,
as a healthy scratch as well. And you remember that I know we brought Gunnar Olszewski in to be this All-Pro Pro Bowl punt returner. But two fumbles.
That's
two fumbles. That's
not good.
So that would be one I would be interested to see if somebody brings up that question. If you're going to start looking at Steven Sims as a possible return guy for you.
Well, I know another one that I like. I really like what we've seen with DeMarvin Leal. You know, and I know that Isaiah Loudermilk has not been getting a hat, which I don't think it has anything to do with the fact that they're disappointed in what he's doing. I think he's been coming along and doing well. But the necessity of trying to come up with something different in light of T.J. Watt being down, I mean, you got to manufacture some pressure and some play from those, you know, his position. And Malik Reed he's a regular outside linebacker. You know what I mean? He's just one of those guys. He comes along, and in the past, he's shown the ability to be able to get to the quarterback on about every other game sort of, you know, rotation. He's not going to put up huge sack numbers and stuff like that. But I love the fact that you can also use DeMarvin in one of that elephant end on the weak side type of thing. You know, where he can just be a wrecking ball. You know, I watched him on one of those one of the counter traps. You know, where they, you know, they pull the backside guard and they pull an H back or something. They come along and he just went in there and just kind of wailed and jammed everything up like, you know, like the plumbing just went bad. I mean, he backed that trap up like it was. Yeah, he looked like he was trapping the trapper.
Yeah, there we go. I mean, I think that, and that's something that you want to see, right? You want to continue to figure out what his ceiling can be, because at training camp we're like, he plays a little high. We don't really know how he fits. You know, he's playing this 3-4 DN. It's going to take some time. But I think through tragedy and the loss of T.J. Watt, we've now discovered what DeMarvin Leal can do and what his skill set range is. And that's what I talk about. You know, even in the midst of adversity, the fact that we're 1-3, there's still some bright spots, right? There's still some good things to lean on and to continue to explore further. And I think that this early setback is going to lead for better things come the second half of the season, because guys have been pressed into service ahead of time, and guys have gotten a lot more reps than they would have gotten had things just gone copacetic, right? And I think that's what continues to build the framework and the fiber of this team, because it is a very young team for all intents and purposes, especially offensively. And this is that phase that we don't like to think about, but it's something that we've come a little bit more familiar with as guys start to age out, as guys start to show signs of wear and tear. You want to be able to be able to still roll in fresh young guys, but also those guys not be as green, not as wet behind the ears coming into this situation, that if they are promoted, if they are given expanded roles, it's not a shock to their system because they've been getting these reps all along. It's kind of like what Dan Moore went through last year. Najee Harris, Pat Freiermuth, right? As true rookies getting snaps right out the gate. And we now look at where Pat Freiermuth is. We look at how Dan Moore is progressing. We know what Najee is. And those guys benefited greatly from those opportunities that were given to them. And I think that's the same with DeMarvin. DeMarvin is benefiting from the opportunities given from him, and he's making those splashy plays.
Well, there's no doubt in my mind that this young man's upside is he's totally capable of being the wrecking ball that right now he kind of calls himself. And I look at it, you know, maybe he's going to get more snaps. I also look for the fact that at some point in time that Isaiah gets an opportunity to come back and be able to contribute as well. This young man, I see, you know, the possibility of him doing some very good things in the future. I thought he'd made another jump coming back into camp. He's strong. He's gotten bigger. The opportunities have not been there because of the T.J. Watt thing, but I certainly hope he just stays with it and keeps working, because I think that young man's got a real upside. I mean, when you're 6'7", you can push the pocket. When you're 6'7 and able to play with a low pad level like he has shown and able to take on the double team, that he gets a good lockout with that good lean and can throw the hip into that double team and so forth, you know, that's all good stuff. You want to make sure that he's able to continue working on that and to excel at that. I mean, but right now you got Larry O over there, and Larry O is doing a pretty good job.
Larry O is definitely playing as advertised. I'll say that much.
Yeah.
I mean, he is playing with a vigor and
I like that
vigor. Plays with vigor and a nastiness that we can all appreciate. And you know, he's definitely provided some great plays already in his career here with us. And you see why the Steelers went out and got him. I think that was the other thing, is that he has truly acquitted himself very well. And happy to have him, because I think he also provides a much-needed defensive spark when necessary for the defensive line. And, you know, like I said, getting in the backfield against Cleveland, being able to affect and disrupt in this last game, he's doing some really good things.
He is doing some good things. And you know what? He is he's a physical dude. You know, I mean, he's just one of those guys. He comes off, and again, with the low pad level, has a good lockout, very strong. I mean, when you stand behind him, this guy's got a backside. I mean, he's wide and strong and powerful. You know how you got to have that good power pack, you know, your drive blocker. That's what – you know, we used to have offensive line. We used to talk about, he's about two axe handles across the backside. That's how they measured. All right, how's your power pack? I'm about two axe handles.
You know, hey, listen, axe handles, bus seats, whatever you need to measure. You know, I'm a seat and a half. I mean,
You're a seat and a half, are you?
I don't necessarily have axe handles to measure my backside.
You're a little bit bigger than me. Yeah.
Just a smidge. You know.
Yeah, you know.
You know, as Southwest likes to say, I am a customer of size.
Oh, is that what they say?
Is that what they call it? That's a polite way of saying you're large.
Oh, that's interesting. All right. Why don't we take a break? We'll come back, and Juju Smith-Schuster seems to be thinking a lot about, I don't know, throwing a little shade towards Pittsburgh. We'll tell you about it when we come back.
This is In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks on ESPN Pittsburgh and Steelers Nation Radio, presented by your neighborhood Ford store. The F-150 is the official truck of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Carolina shows blitz. Shotgun snap. He pumps. He fires it down the field. A man wide open. Running with the football. Juju. He's at the 25-20. 15-10. He's into the end zone for a 75-yard touchdown pass. Roethlisberger to Smith-Schuster.
While discussing Smith-Schuster's move after 5 years with the Steelers, Sunday Night Football sideline reporter Melissa Stark quoted the former Pro Bowler thusly, Juju Smith-Schuster told me this week, it's awesome to have an offensive-minded coach in Andy Reid. He has learned more in the last few months in Kansas City than he did in all 5 years in Pittsburgh. He said, Reid makes you see the whole field. He answers the why. He gets you to understand how to read defenses. And he said one of the coolest things, this is what I think really kind of stood out to me. One of the coolest things Reid does before every game, he says, just let your personality out. He said, there's nothing better that a coach can say. So I just wonder, and I haven't been keeping up with Juju. I just found it kind of interesting that he referenced that. And I just wonder, has Juju been logo dancing in Kansas City? I haven't heard anything.
You know, I think he's now less obsessed with his TikTok brand or whatever you want to call it, but you know, at the same time, he also has a different role. You look at him in Kansas City, he's not the primary option. And I think, you know, he now knows fully that, hey, you're not a number one receiver. I think that was him subjugating himself to that by taking the Kansas City deal. And you know, it is frustrating to hear a player say that. But, you know, once again, it's his experience. The question is whether he took full advantage of learning the offense when it was presented to him. That's the other thing. You know, it's one thing if they're actually teaching it versus are you receiving what they're teaching? Or are you more concerned with trying to keep up with the Antonio Browns of the world, trying to work on your social media image and branding and all that other BS? That's the other thing that I question about it. So, you know, Tyreek Hill also said that Tua Tagovailoa was the most accurate quarterback he's been around after being with Patrick Mahomes. So,
really?
I mean, this is the era we're coming in. You know, it's, hey, you know, the X is my ex, so I'm going to talk badly about my ex and talk really great about my new girlfriend. You know, I mean, that's what I've come to expect. But, you know, would you – I mean, here's the thing, Wolf, and you've seen a lot of – would you pick Tua Tagovailoa over Patrick Mahomes to – if you had a chance to start your own franchise, which one would you pick to start the franchise?
Oh, let me think about it. Mahomes.
Yeah, exactly. And yep. I can't get it out fast enough yep. for 500 mil. You know, it's like, come on, get out of here. Get out of here. And so those are the things they're preposterous things, but I get you want to go ahead and make your new team feel like you're all the way in. And this is one of the things you got to rag on the old team to make your new team kind of buy in, kind of earn your stripes,
right?
Earn the trust of everybody involved. So I look at Juju and I'm just like,
yeah, whatever.
Yeah, I don't miss you, bud.
Yeah, it's well, you know, I think when I went to Minnesota, I felt no urge to throw any, what do they call it, throwing shade at Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Why? I had the greatest 10 years of my life here. You know what I mean? It was a dynamite thing. It was just time to move. You know, it happens to everybody. Yeah. You know, at some point in time, you either move another place or you move out of the league. You know, it is. And I've never understood people unless there was a real confliction, which I didn't see any real conflict here other than the fact that he was insistent upon that logo dancing thing, which I don't care what anybody says. You know, it made him a target. You know, you remember Cincinnati, that one game. Mm-hmm. There was no doubt when he went out, I think it was Cincinnati, when he went out and he was doing the logo dancing, and they lit him up on a crossing route. And I remember it was like thunder. You know what I mean? People were just, you know, really, they were really getting antsy about him. The other players, other teams were, you know, getting irate over what he was doing, you know? I mean, it's not like it was the first time ever. I remember Terrell Owens standing on the Dallas Star at, you know, at their old stadium, Texas Stadium. You know, remember that? And then, you know, it started a near riot out on the field. I mean, these things, you have to understand what you're doing. And, you know, dissing opponents, I don't know. Doesn't seem like it's a necessary thing to do.
Yeah, no, it isn't. And it's so easy to just kind of just let things go aside.
Yeah.
You know, just,
I mean, really?
You don't have to answer every question. You don't have to answer every question. I mean, just face it. We as media would love for you to answer every single crazy question that we may ask you. But at some point, you have to just shrug some of those questions off, right? I mean, you've got to have some decorum and also realize that, you know, you're kind of bagging on the town that really gave you your start.
Right.
And listen, and a lot of people bought Juju Swift.
Yeah.
And still wear your jerseys to this day. But don't sit here and piss on it because it didn't go the way that you thought it was supposed to go. And yes, Juju did some great things in the community here.
Sure.
In Pittsburgh.
You acknowledge
and
that.
Was a very likable guy. And we acknowledge that. But also, don't because you're gone, don't just start, you know, just spilling out crazy stuff out your mouth. Just let it be, hey, I had a great time in Pittsburgh, but you know what? I'm learning a lot of new things here in Kansas City, and it's great to have a fresh start. That's all you had to say.
Right.
That's it. That's it. I just gave you what you needed to say, Juju. But to go in and say, oh, well, I learned more in the first 5 weeks than I did in 5 years. I mean, come on. Nobody needs to hear that.
And frankly,
you also
do you believe
enjoyed
that?
Success while you were here.
Do you believe that?
No.
No.
I don't believe
no.
that.
I think you're just making stuff up to sound like, you know, your move was a great move for you. And, you know, you don't need the other guys because, you know, you move on to greener pastures and you're more appreciated, more loved and all that thing. It's a shame, you know. Because I thought the world of Juju. You're right. He did some really great things in the community. And I wish you would have just left it at that because that's the way to leave it. You know, I mean, because you never know. In today's game, you could be back. You know, I mean, that's just the way it is. Who was it that just went back to, what was it, Baltimore? They picked up somebody. It's the second or third time he's been there. You know, I mean, you keep bringing people back. It's like, you know, it's like mate, you know, our punter.
Jordan Berry.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. You know, if he's throwing shade from down under, and he's been back a couple of times, you know, I mean, I don't think it wouldn't be a very good landing spot for him, you know?
No, absolutely not. And you would say we need to go elsewhere to figure out what we need in this team. But if you're a good person, you're a guy that was well respected and beloved by this team, yeah, you're going to get another, and the coaches like you a whole lot, yeah, you'll get another shot. You'll get second life, so to speak. But you start talking this type of craziness, and it's like, you know what? Yeah, it was a good career, bud. It was a good career.
Yeah.
you find a lot of other phrasings to talk about, guys, and that's one of the things I hate. It's unfortunate. You know, you never want to burn a bridge.
No.
You know, but
not in this world.
Like another individual that he shall not be named because he keeps popping up in the media.
Yeah,
but that guy will never come back here.
Yeah. No, that's not a good thing. But the one thing I'll say for Juju, at least he's in a town where they got some of the greatest pulled pork and barbecue. Jack Stacks, baby. You got to love him.
See, I'm a Gates barbecue guy, Wolf.
Oh, wait a minute now.
That's just me.
Hold on. Who's this? Gates? What's that?
Gates, yeah.
Where's Gates?
Gates Barbecue?
Where's that?
Gates is right there in Kansas City, yeah.
I've not been to Gates because remember when we were there last year, what did we do? We did Jack Stacks, didn't we?
Because we had to order it online.
Well, yeah. And you were the only one that could order because you're the only one that had technology.
I was also the only one who could order, yes. Oh, my God, yes.
I was like your shadow. You order it. You're sitting there. You're ordering. I'm like, I follow you all over the place. I'm waiting. I'm waiting for it. I'm waiting. I'm ready.
It's like, so Max, when is it coming?
When's it coming?
What does that device in your hand say for timing?
Now,
I'm going to the restroom.
Now,
is it going to come in that time?
Yeah. If we're talking food this week, it's got to be wings and Saturday night, all right?
That is true. That is true.
We got waylaid here by, you know, discussing some things that happened last year.
I'm licking my chops already for Saturday night, baby.
Wes, if you had seen me in Kansas City, though, I was like Max's shadow. He's ordering the food. I'm like, when's it coming, Max? When's it coming?
You were like my dog when I'm in the kitchen cooking something.
Oh, my God. And then, And then afterwards, it was funny because we're down in the lobby at this little, like, small little end table, like, divvying up, like, the bread and the pickles yeah. and the onions and barbecue sauce. Do you want spicy or do you want original? You know, there's
hey,
a sweet one here, too.
You got six pieces of sausage, and I only got four.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We're eyeballing yeah. each other's divvy ups there. You know what I mean?
It's like, ooh, how'd you get burn-ins?
Oh, that was a good yeah. time.
Yeah, it no was. That was it. A fun time.
Oh, it was very yeah. good.
But yeah, no, you're right. You're right. Wings are on the menu, though, Wes. Yeah. Don't worry, Wes. We will make sure you're taken care of.
There's let's see, Duff's, too. I mean, they got a lot of Santora's yeah. wings. They got Buffalo's just so
I did
good.
I did some advanced scouting for okay. us, fellas, as I tend to do. Duff's is pretty far away. Closest one's like a 25-minute ride, but there is an Ooh. Anchor Bar right up the road from the hotel.
Oh, well, it's not the original. Bar, the original, though.
Is that?
I'm not a Buffalo expert, so I would have to turn that over to you, Mr. Yeah, Wolf.
I think it's they're now they've franchised the Anchor Bar,
kind of like Permane's.
Yeah, there's a I think as far as I know, there's several in the Buffalo area, but that's where it all started. I mean, that's. You know, boy, I wonder if I'd knock out another tooth. Man, that'd be a bummer.
Wolf. But I mean, at least you do it in glory, though, Wolf.
In glory, yes. You go down in flames.
Wolf, did I tell you my Anchor Bar Syracuse story?
No. Tell me.
My freshman year of college, this would have been the 2010 March Madness. Me and some buddies went up to watch WVU in the opening weekend. They were playing up in Buffalo. We went to Anchor Bar before the game, right? And we're all decked out in our WVU stuff, obviously. And there was a huge table of Syracuse alumni who were in there because the Syracuse had played in the morning session, so their game was over. So we were kind of doing some pre-gaming. They were doing some post-gaming. They're ribbing us. They're giving us grief, right?
Mm-hmm.
We go to order, and our waitress says, that table over there, they just ordered you guys 100 wings.
No.
So this table of Syracuse alumni, we sit down, and, you know, this is old Big East days, too. They're ribbing us, WVU, Syracuse, having right. fun. Welcome to town. They got up and left. They paid for 100 wings for us college freshmen, us 18 and 19-year-olds, without even saying anything to us as they were leaving. So that was my only Buffalo experience, and I got 100 wings at the Anchor Bar with my boys and all paid for by some very nice Syracuse alumni.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. That's good to know that the Cuse, they were investing in the Utes.
That's right.
The Cuse.
I have been to the original
Utes.
Anchor Bar. I mean, you know, if you know the story that the Bellissimos, they owned it, and on a Friday night back in the 60s, some of the younger Bellissimos friends were coming over, and so the senior, the father, said, "How about whipping up some food?" And that's what the missus did. She came up with the concoction of wings. You know, and she mixed up that Frank's hot sauce and butter and deep fried and everything else. Came out with the chunky blue cheese. You got yourself the celery and carrots. She put it all together, and history was made, man.
That is a story that just brings a tear to your eye, doesn't it?
Isn't that beautiful? You know, have you ever had like nuclear wings? That's brutal. See, people go
I like
crazy.
Nuclear wings.
You like? They get too high. Well. Years ago, I used to go nuclear, okay, as a young man when I was in my 20s. And Tunch always used to say to me, he goes, you know, you're going to pay for that someday. I'm like, yeah, right. You know, I'll worry about it later. Well, later has come.
You know? Later is here.
Later is now here. You know, and it's like, I can't quite go that nuclear stuff anymore. Because back in the day, when I was in Syracuse, I in the off season I bounced at a few joints. You know how it is, you make a few bucks. And so the cook there always had a deal. He said, if I make you wings, and he said, you got to eat them all, or if you can't, then you got to pay for them. He says, but if you can eat them all, I'll pay for them. And by golly, I ate everything he threw out there, man. And I'll tell you, I suffered on a few nights.
You went to town.
Oh, yeah. But you know what? I was not about to have to pay for it. You know, on that when you're in college, you got – $5 to your name. It's like you can't afford it.
No, absolutely. Listen, you go all in there, Wolf. I mean, that's just that's just what it is.
It's
a constant. I mean, I completely agree, and I concur with that assessment. Yeah, if it's free, give me three.
No doubt about it. Well, I think it's about time to move on, my friend.
It is time to move on. We have regaled everyone with tales of yore and food and wings. You know, when we come back, let's round out the show, you know, kind of prepping ourselves for some things that we're looking forward to hopefully getting answered in the Mike Tomlin press conference, some things that might be adjusted when we come back here on the broadcast. But I just want to make sure we continue to point out to everyone that if you miss any of our shows, or you want to get our shows on demand, and you want to rewind this, especially hearing the Anchor Bar history story as told as narrated by Craig Wolfley, the toothless one. You can go on the Steelers mobile
app. Shade at me, Wes. Come on.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah,
toothless,
it's all good.
One. That might stick for a little while, I tell you.
That one hurt.
Don't worry. You're getting to a dentist. I know. Yes. No, it's all good.
It's all good.
But, yeah. But, you know, also on this day, we do have the Steelers Week in Review hosted by our very own Wes Euler, who you just heard on this show. He does that. It drops today. Stan Saverin also had the Godfather of Pittsburgh Sports, also has his podcast dropping every Tuesday and Thursday as well on the Steelers mobile app, iHeartMedia app, and wherever else you catch podcasts. So just want to point you in that direction. But like I said, we're going to step aside, pay a couple bills, and then when we come back, little thoughts and curations before the end of the show, before we toss it into the Tomlin press conference. You're listening to In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks here on SNR and ESPN Radio.
This is In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks on ESPN Pittsburgh and Steelers Nation Radio, presented by your neighborhood Ford store. The F-150 is the official truck of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
You know, I'm not going to talk extended as we sit here. We did what we needed to do to put ourselves in position to win this game, and we'll do it again. But I like to just keep it where we are in terms of what transpired here today. We'll deal with next week.
Well, next week is here because it's Tuesday and it's press conference day for Mike Tomlin. Oh, how it changes, right? We've turned the page. It's on to Buffalo, and you know, Coach Tomlin's going to have to answer a lot of questions about Kenny Pickett coming up, a lot of questions about Mr. Trubisky's future. You know, what are some of the things you're anticipating learning from this press conference that will take place very shortly after we get off these here airwaves?
Well, number one, of course, is going to be what we've been talking about, and that's going to be the decision on what you're going to do going forward. Now, is he going to kind of make it murky waters and not give you a clear answer? Who knows? You know, you just don't know. I would think, you know, it's going to be the Kenny show, but we'll see. He's going to break down the Buff Bills, and, you know, one of the things that's going to be interesting, think about it. The Bills started off by whooping the Rams and the Titans by big margins, you know, scoring a lot of points. But now they lost at Miami, and they had a late comeback against Baltimore. So during that time, Josh Allen has gone from averaging 8.9 yards per attempt in the first two games, which is unbelievable, really, down to 6.2 in the next two. So that and his completion percentage has dropped from 75% to 62%. We're going to have to get in the lab and find out what, you know, they're doing to create that sort of drag on Josh Allen, because they're slowing him down. You know, and so probably you're going to hear some questions about how the Bills, as he breaks them down, are looking, and maybe there's a difference between the first two games and the last two games, and see what's going on. So those are just a few thoughts that are running through my gourd.
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right. I think, you know, you've got to talk about kind of that decision and how does that decision look without giving away too much to the opponent and giving fodder to them to game plan. But I think you're absolutely right. You know, what is going to be the key to stopping the Bills' offense, because it has been stymied the last couple of weeks? What can you draw from the previous two games that they played and opponents to figure out what it is? I have a sneaking suspicion it's also teams being able to be more aggressive with Josh Allen because their offenses can keep up with the scoring. So now, how do we transition that, because our scoring is not consistent?
Right.
And you're also now inserting a brand new quarterback leading this offense. Now, the good thing that you do have is you have anonymity, because all you have is a half a football to look at for Kenny Pickett to try and figure out what he does, as opposed to Mitch Trubisky, you'd have 3.5 games to prep for. So I think that's going to be a very interesting X factor, and I'll be looking to see what the McDermott press conference entails as well today, to see what, if he gleans any nuggets, from his talk. If we can glean any nuggets from what he's talking about, I think that's a big one. I think addressing the injuries and also activations,
and they got injuries too, Max.
Their secondary's got some issues, and that's why teams, I think, have been able to score on them and also put them in these tight ball games, is because the defense can't be as suffocating. You know, if you don't have guys on the back end, that pass rush is not as effective. You kind of eliminate Von Miller from the equation. You eliminate Phillips and company and all those guys that they brought in to really compete with the Kansas City Chiefs. That was the defense they were building. Mm-hmm. But if you're getting the ball out, you're starting to look like the Chiefs defense, right? I mean, that was a big issue for the Chiefs for a long time, was the defensive line pressure. And then, of course, you got Frank Clark and Chris Jones, and that kind of changed it. And I think that's what the Bills are kind of figuring out is, okay, go get Von Miller. Let's go get some other major guys. And it's going to be very interesting to see how that all shakes out. But one other thing I want to focus on, Wolf.
What are we going to focus on, Max?
Is – I love how you do it, because you have a – it's almost like it's a true, like, just inquisitive knowledge, and I appreciate that.
There you
know?
Go. Yes, we need to know. I need to know.
Yes, exactly. How do you think we're going to address penalties this game from the previous games, meaning offensive, ineligible receivers downfield – type of stuff that can be prevented in schematics and practice? I mean, how do you go about that process?
Well, number one is you're going to see the zebras probably on the south side. You know, they're going to have the refs down there and at practice. I would think, just because it's always, to me, you know, whenever the referees are there, it just makes you more aware of your fundamentals that you have to employ week in, week out, day in, day out, that sort of thing, you know. And so when they're standing there, you start to think about it, just because naturally when you see those jerseys and you see the flags, you're like, oh got to pay attention here. The other thing is, I really think, you know, there's got to be something done with the linemen getting downfield. I know that there's RPOs, and those RPOs are impactful. They can be, you know, great weapons. But if you have a problem where – I don't know, the long mesh points on the handoff, and then you let one window slide by as a quarterback and you throw into the second window or something else. That puts a lot of problems on the offensive lineman. You know what I'm talking about. Because, you know, you get in a game and you go, all right, it's a two count, and then go. Well, some guys count 1,001, 1,002. Now, if you're under stress, it might be 1,001, 1,002, go. You know, I mean, it's just one of those things where, it picks up pace for you. You know what I mean? Like the screens. You sit there and go, one Mississippi, two Mississippi. Well, what if all you get out is one miss, two miss? You know what I mean? It's like one of those things where, go ahead.
Or what if you get Mississippi?
Yeah, Mississippi.
I mean, exactly. It's like, wait a second. Yeah, exactly. You're like, no, the count needs to be a little bit different than that. No, you have to say Mississippi, because that means it's a second. You're like, Mississippi. Okay, there we go. I got out. I did what I was supposed to do.
Well, it's just one of those things, you know. Yeah. And I think, hey, look, I truly believe I would love to see the screens coming back. You've got a Buffalo defense at home that's going to be a swarming defense. They're going to come after you. You got some issues. They've lost cornerback Tre'Davious White, and their safety. I really like Micah Hyde. Well, they're both on injured reserve. You know what I mean? And you got Jordan Poyer's got a foot injury going on, so you wonder about that. And you also didn't have Ed Oliver and Jordan Phillips, a couple of guys on the defensive line. So they've got some bang-up issues too. But I still think, you know, things were of the nature when you got, situations where you could throw a screen pass. That, to me, those are big, because when you're in somebody else's house and it's all kind of, you know, people are going crazy. I mean, there's a lot of juice there. And if you can get some of that screen game going, I think it's beneficial.
Yeah. No, I would love to see that, Wolf. Well, hey, Wolf, we're going to step aside because Mike Tomlin press conference.
And so,
I know. Maybe next year we can talk them into a three-hour show. But I do want to remind everyone, every episode we do is available for you to download, subscribe through the Steelers mobile app, iHeartRadio app, and wherever you find podcasts. It's been fun today. We're now going to toss you live to the Mike Tomlin press conference after this. You've been listening to Craig Wolfley, Max Starks, and Wesley Euler, a little bit. You've been in the locker room here on SNR and ESPN Radio. Have a great day. We'll talk tomorrow.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Thinking about gas mileage. You know, changing your oil with a full synthetic oil like Castrol Edge can help your engine get more miles. Right now, you can get 5 quarts with an STP Extended Life Oil Filter for only $36.99. Get started on your next job today with the parts you need when you need them at AutoZone or AutoZone.com.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.